Good morning, church. It is a interesting day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We're going to do something. I'm going to do this one time. We're not going to do it the whole time, but I got to do it once just because it's too beautiful not to do. We're going to have a different kind of amen this morning. I need everybody in the place to lay on the horn for about a second. Can we do it just right now? Everybody just hit. I'll take it as an amen. God bless you all for being here. Just a couple of quick things. If you haven't yet, you can go to jenkinscp.org and you can find the lyrics to the two songs that we're going to have in just a couple of moments. We'll have Alleluia, Alleluia, and He Lives. So go ahead to jenkinscp.org. Somebody's still on it. I love it. Go to jenkinscp.org, and you can find the lyrics to the songs in just one second. So that's going to be what we're doing. Regrettably, the church is locked. We're not going to have it open, so we can't come in and out. Please keep your windows up and those sorts of things, and we're going to be very, very safe in this time. But what we are going to do is we're going to celebrate the resurrection this morning. That's what happened, we believe, on this day. That God brought Jesus back to life, that brought him brought out of the grave, and through that we all have resurrection. That's what we'll be celebrating this morning, and it's wonderful that you all are here with me. I want to have our call to worship this morning. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55, and it says this: when this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? There is no death anymore. There is no victory in death. There's victory in life, and that's what we celebrate today. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we live in this day. We thank you that we have a new creation in this day. We thank you, God, that you have allowed life to happen in this day, and we're a part of it. We are here, God, today in this strange, odd circumstances, all together in this parking lot, because we recognize the beauty of the resurrection. There is no death. There is only life. You have snatched life out of death's mouth, and we thank you, God, that that is the case. So we ask you, Lord, then, to bless this time that we're all together. Bless us as we gather in this place, lifting up your name. Bless us as we recognize the truth of this day, that resurrection is real and it is here for us all. We ask these things, Lord, because we desperately need them. And Lord, we're going to continue our prayer, recognizing that there are others that need prayer today as well. We ask you, Lord, that for those who couldn't make it today, that you lift them up and love them. We ask, Lord, for all those that are ill today, all of those that are sick in our world, that you give them every blessing that you can measure out to them. Give them love, give them grace, and give them mercy in these difficult times. For all of those who are struggling financially because of right now, we ask that you show them blessings. And show them blessings, Lord, from us. Where we need to help, we ask you to give us the means to help. Give us the knowledge to help and give us the wisdom to help. We ask these things, Lord, because we know there are so many people that need your blessings right now on this Easter Sunday. And so we all lift up those names of people right now in our own cars, at home, wherever it is. We lift up those names, calling on your help for these situations, because we recognize that today is about life. There is no death in this. You will bring life in these moments. And we ask you, Lord, in this prayer to do that now for all those that are hurting. Lord, we thank you for this day. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care about a virus. We thank you for this day, this Sunday, this Easter Resurrection Day. And we ask for your blessings in the midst of it. And we say thank you because you're a blessing, God, and you're already gone to work. Lord, thank you for all of these things. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. We'll have our first hymn. I want to thank, by the way, before we get any further in this, I want to thank Gary Bomar and Dave Turco. These two guys have worked amazing, amazing work to get this to happen. So thank them. Thank James and thank Philip for participating and leading us in the music. We're going to worship now through song.
Well, howdy, y'all. It's been a long time since I've seen you. But I'm glad to see you all out here. It's rainy. But you're in a car. And we're about to sing. Y'all ready to sing? Now I picked the tune that I know that you know. You may not know it from looking at the words, but you know this tune. And when we sing. Y'all are used to singing in your car, so you don't have any excuse not to be singing. It's not as much fun without laughter, is it? I know you're laughing. Y'all ready to sing?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hearts to heaven and voices raise. Sing to God a hymn of gladness. On this resurrection morn, Christ has triumphed and we conquer by his mighty enterprise. We with him to life eternal by his resurrection rise.
We're going to sing that first verse again because it's Easter, y'all.
Sing to God a hymn of praise. He who on the cross has Savior for the world's salvation bled. Jesus Christ, the King of glory, now is risen from the dead.
Yes, Lord, that is the truth. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen and amen. We're going to have an abbreviated worship service this morning because I know your seats today aren't even as uncomfortable as the ones inside. So we're going to have a short worship service. But I wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Maybe a week ago or so, we set up the online giving platform. We let you all know, too, that there was the ability to send tithes and offerings to P.O. Box 518 here in Nolensville. And you all have responded. And that's a wonderful thing because this church is going to do amazing things in these difficult days. And that takes, regrettably in this world, money to take care of it. And you all have done that. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your giving to the church. We're going to continue having, obviously, the online opportunities to give. Again, you can mail it to the church. But I want to thank you for your faithful gifts of tithes and offerings in this time. If you want to do that in this moment, that is fine. We're going to keep going, though, in our worship service, recognizing that not only are our gifts those monetary gifts that we give, but those gifts are also everything we do in this world. Our gift to God and our tithes to God are about going into this world and doing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so know that in this time, if you're not giving monetarily, if that's not where you are right now, that doesn't mean you can't give wonderful gifts. Continue serving one another, and that is the greatest tithe there is. So thank you all for your faithfulness in that, and it's so good to be a part of a church that sees the giving of all of our gifts so seriously. I want to read our scripture for this morning. It comes from Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, and it reads this way. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from us at the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out, and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. But they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. You all, this is not how I would have designed it if I were to design an Easter morning. This is not how we would have planned it if Easter planning had been left up to us. This is not how we want it. But like I tell my kids, y'all, it is what it is. I miss the hugs. I miss you all talking before church and how it takes forever for y'all to stop passing the peace. I miss our Sunday school class. I miss Michael Nairn opening doors and turning the lights on and getting the coffee ready. I miss Mary Jo and Mike preparing the communion table with care and with reverence. I miss all of that. If it were up to us, we'd do it different. We would have surely planned better weather. Y'all, why can't Jesus have been resurrected yesterday? Because yesterday was gorgeous. I would have made sure that the skies were clear and that the sun was warm and that there was no rain to be found. I would have planned so that no breeze would ruffle my notes here on this stand. I would have planned for our life to have no storms. This day would have been different than this. Other things would have been different too. There would not have been so much anxiousness in the world today if we were to have planned Easter. If I were to plan Easter, there wouldn't have been so much worry and fear invading our lives. There would not be so much isolation that we feel, nor the heartache of people whose lives have been turned upside down by this virus. My Easter would have been different. It would have been brighter. We'd have had church, and then we'd had good lunches, and then we'd had a lazy afternoon with the family. That's what Easter is supposed to be about. Easter is supposed to be a special day like no other day, a superhero kind of day where there's nothing wrong in the world at all, but not in this Easter. No, no, in this Easter it's different. It's still Easter, but it's not like any Easter I've ever spent. We shouldn't be hiding in our cars, and we should not be hiding in our homes. We shouldn't be watching today on our cell phones or on our laptops. That's not how this should be. That's not how Easter is. Easter is supposed to be filled with pastels and new dresses and the most colorful ties and Easter baskets and a rabbit for some reason. Yet, here we are in the midst of the COVID and in the midst of the rain, and well, this is a little bit odd and not the way I would have designed it at all if I was designing it. Which means today is probably closer to the original Easter than any Easter that we have ever celebrated before. If you want to know what the first Easter felt like, I think Mark would say it felt a little bit like today. That Easter wasn't how the women had planned it to go either. The women were anxious. They were scared. I got to wonder if maybe it wasn't raining on them a little bit. Church, it wasn't puffy clouds and buttercups on that first Easter morning. No, they were terrified. The day was anxious provoking. It was a cause to tremble. Yet here's the thing. While it wasn't like anything they designed it to be, that doesn't mean it didn't have a bunch of God smack up in the middle of it. Just because this wasn't how the women had it planned doesn't mean that God wasn't up to something good. And here's something I know. If God's in the middle of something, something wonderful is about to happen. I was just trying to tell some folks this morning that just because life isn't designed as you would want it to be doesn't mean that God's not working in it. If I was in the church this morning, I'd ask somebody to amen. Life hasn't always been how you've wanted it. But that doesn't mean God hadn't been in the middle of it, does it? Somebody needs a flash of lights for Jesus or honk for hallelujah if you know that your life hasn't always been how you wanted it, but God was working anyway. Sometimes, yes, sir. Sometimes life hadn't been how we planned it. It's not how we would have put it together, but we also know God has been working through us the whole time. Tell me that that's not true. Let me testify for a second, y'all. I shouldn't have made it past 16 in that car wreck that I had. I shouldn't have made it through some depressive days. I shouldn't have made it after some of the decisions that I've made in my life. Things didn't go as planned, but I'll testify that God was working anyway. God was at work in my life, and you know that story in your life too. life isn't like we planned it, but God's been doing God stuff anyway. We might be blind to some things, but we've never been blind to that. So I'm telling you that the day the women went to the tomb wasn't like they wanted it. And nothing that happened there was like they wanted it. It was overwhelming and it was dangerous. And I'm telling y'all, they were scared. They were terrified. And don't laugh at them, because you would have been too. They had every right to be scared, because things weren't like they should have been. Y'all, the body wasn't there anymore. The body of their loved one wasn't in the tomb. The body of their leader was missing. Don't act like that. You've heard that for 2,000 years. Put yourself in their shoes in that day. The grave is where the body is supposed to be. That's where it was supposed to be, so they could anoint a body and give Jesus a proper farewell. They were supposed to care for the body of Jesus Christ because they loved that man. They were there for him, but now he was gone, and there was some dude telling them some crazy story like they'd never heard before. What if the authorities had shown up in that moment? They must have asked, will we be held responsible for this? What happens if the temple leaders find out? Because they will find out. Will they come to blows with James and John? Will they have to chase Peter down? I doubt they'll let Thomas off the hook. What will they do to us if they believe that we're the ones who took the body? Oh, these were troubling times that they were in. So Mark says that they left. They left scared. They left terrified. They left so upset that they didn't tell anybody. Even though God was doing something great, they were scared. And Mark lets us believe that that was the end of things. Now, if you look in your Bible, you may have some more scripture in Mark after this, but that was probably added many, many years later. Mark leaves it at verse 8. That's it. They left and they didn't say a word. But I came to say something this morning in this church service, and I came to say this. Yes, they did. I mean, I love how Mark ends the story. It's full of mystery. It's full of intrigue. It's interesting. It's real. I love Mark for being real. But the rest of the story is that they didn't stay silent for long. They went and they told some people. Yes, they did. Now, maybe I'm putting words into Mark's hand, but I need to say what we all know. Those women didn't stay silent about what God did in troubling times. They didn't stay scared. They didn't remain anxious and fearful. Before they long, they realized that even though things weren't like they wanted to be, and even though things weren't how they would have planned them to be, and even though things were dangerous in those days, the truth is that they learned that in the midst of it all, in the midst of all the troubling times, God was at his best work since the day that it was said, "Let there be light." When they realized that God wasn't done, when they went past their own understandings of what God was doing, when they didn't succumb to the fear anymore, but when they followed God instead, what they realized was they weren't in control, but God had everything in hand. Later on that day, when they understood a little better about what God was doing, when all that happened, let me tell you right now, they went and they told everybody they could find. When they came to understand what God had done that day, they ran off to the 11 and told them. When they saw the resurrection, when they saw Jesus, they went and told everybody they could find. When they found out that not even death could get in between us and the love of Christ, they testified from the mountaintops and folks heard them in the valleys. Because what somebody needs to hear right now is that when God starts moving, it doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter your plan or your understanding. What we need to do is just let go and let God, and then go tell everybody that God has done something crazy in our lives. When we finally see what God is up to, it's time for us to jump in, help out, and shout about it. I need to tell Mark and tell us all that yes, they did. They did tell somebody about what God has done. They told everybody, and then they lived a life worthy of what they were saying. Oh, church, these days aren't like we want them. This may be not how we designed it. This is not what we want it to be like. We didn't design it so that there is so much sickness and death. And death, too, of those living in their senior years. They've worked so hard to get to these days, and their life is cut short, and that's not how we would have designed it to be. We didn't plan for life to be isolating and lonely, anxious and uncertain. We surely did not want to be like this, and neither does God. We want to be able to love our hug our loved ones who live down the street maybe, or down the interstate, or even down the runway. We want to see students walk across the stage of graduation. We want to see neighbors prospering and not falling farther behind, because we all know what the stress of losing money and security can bring. It would have been different if we'd had to say, but it's not, and it's scary. But church, I say, don't live in your fear. I know about a God that's bigger than all this. This is the God of the resurrection we're talking about. These might not be days we've designed, but God's at work. I just know it. See, I know my God is still doing God things. I know it because even in the worst day, God resurrected Jesus Christ. I know it because death looked like a fool when Jesus walked out of the tomb. I know it because those women got over their fear and they had to tell somebody about it later on. I know it because others saw the risen Christ and went to their death telling everybody they could about it. I know it because God has worked in my own life when God had every excuse just to let me go on further down into hell. I know it because I see God's resurrection when people live life loving each other as much as they love themselves, even when it is the hardest thing to do. I see Jesus' resurrection when people live like the gospel is true. Like truly, blessed are the poor and the poor in spirit. Like truly, blessed are the ones who are hungry and who weep and who are meek and the ones who are left out. When people live like that is true, I see God in resurrection. I see the resurrection of God's perfect creation when we live as if it is real and true that the last will be first and the first will be last. I need to tell you that we can believe in the resurrection and we can celebrate the resurrection and we can do it in our cars and we can do it in our homes. We can do it in our pajamas. You best at least be wearing pajamas. I need to tell you that we can celebrate the resurrection in the rain today because the sun is still shining. The rain won't last forever. The sun comes out. Just ask Noah about that. God's at work right now. And there's not a thing that a virus or a thunderstorm can do to get in the way. Church, I know we are living in uncertain days. But our God should have convinced us by now for us to keep looking. Keep on looking for God, and we'll find our risen Savior on the days that are the darkest. Oh, church, experience Jesus today. For a moment, we may be silenced by fear, but then we best go out and tell the rest of the story and tell everybody we know about a God who can work in the midst of death and hell. Christ is victorious, y'all. This is Easter. Don't live in fear. Go tell folks what God is doing in your life. And if God isn't doing something, look harder. Go serve somebody. Don't be scared. Go live the kind of life that Jesus told us to live. No excuses now. It's Easter Sunday. You got the resurrection to back you up. You can go do whatever you want to do in the name of the Lord. Go do it. And then go tell everybody what God has done for you. This world is not how we've planned it. But God is right here bringing life out of death anyway. So praise be to God, church. Praise be to God. Amen and amen. God, I love you all right now. I just need you to know that. I will say I love you too. I'm going to say that's what that meant. Now, we're going to have a chance now to get us ready for going out into the world and telling everybody about this. We're going to give God a chance to work on us right now. We're going to have a quick communion. So if you brought bread and juice or water or tea or coffee or whatever it is you're using for communion, if you didn't bring anything, that's okay. Go home in a minute and you can share as a family. But if you did bring it with you, I want you to pull it out now, get it in your hands and get it ready to go. So you're going to have some. I see y'all doing it. This is wonderful. Grab your juice, grab your bread, and hold on to them for a second. I want to talk about something about communion real quick. This sacrament of communion is the physical manifestation of grace. If you want to know what grace looks like, look at the body and the blood that were broken and spilled out for you. That's what grace looks like. If you want to know what mercy tastes like, know that what you hold in your hands is the bread of life and the living water. This communion is grace and mercy in the form of the food that you hold right now. So when you hold them dear. And now, and know as you take it, in these words of Jesus Christ, he said these. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us pray and ask God to bless us by carrying us into the communion and into resurrection. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, I ask that these elements that this congregation holds here in their cars, in their homes, in their bedrooms, in their dens, wherever they are, I ask, Lord, that you bless them. This drink that they hold, whatever it is, this bread that they hold, whatever it is, allow it no longer to just be that, but to be something else. Allow whatever way that you find right, allow, Lord, you to become a part of this meal. So much that the drink and the bread is not drink and bread. It is grace and mercy. It is life here and forevermore. We ask you, Lord, to bless this because we need to get ready to go into the world and show your resurrection to everybody. We need the strength. We need the nourishment to go into the world and tell everybody about a God who works in the strangest circumstances. So we ask you, God, to bless these items, and we say thank you because you're a blessing God. We say thank you, Lord, because we need you and you always show up. Thank you, Lord, for blessing these two things that we take in a moment, knowing that they will lead us into the future. And all of God's people said, amen. I want to read one more thing and then we'll take the items together. It's the reading from Luke's Road to Emmaus. And it reads this way. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going to go further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. So we went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, for he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So church, take your bread and know that as we take this, we recognize Jesus until he comes again. Y'all, this is the bread of Christ, body of Christ. And likewise, take the cup, knowing this is the blood of Christ spilled out for you in forgiveness of sins and for life forever. This is the blood of Christ. And God's people once again said, amen, 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 amen. We're going to have one more song. It's He Lives. I know you all know it. I want to keep the windows up, but I want you to sing so loud I can hear you anyway. So, James, if you would lead us in our closing song.
How many of you needed this today? How many of you needed to get out of the house? How many of you need to go see your family and your friends you haven't seen in a while? How many of you need a haircut? I need a haircut. You know what you don't need to worry about right now, though? Finding your Savior. Because the good news is, He lives. So, y'all ready to sing?
within my heart.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. So, real quick, before the benediction, as we exit here, we're just going to try to do it as best as possible. So, y'all figure that one out. I'm not 100% sure how we're going to get out of here, but I'm sure y'all can figure it out. You've been driving for a while. But hear the benediction. Go in love. Go in joy. Go in mercy. Go in peace. And go in grace. And know He lives. And we got to go tell somebody about it. Or release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said... If you need anything, if you need know somebody who needs some help, let the church know. We want to make sure we help everybody through these difficult days. Let us know if you know anybody that needs some assistance. God bless you all. We'll see you soon.
Hallowed be my name. My kingdom come. In earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the power.